Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Bradley Wiggan Show by Eurosport, the home of cycling, sponsored by Lacquer Bicycle Insurance. I'm Graham Wilgos. Brad, another fine evening in Bath, an even finer evening for Tadej Pogačar. We're back in the pub, outside the pub, I should say, recording minutes after the finish of the final time trial of the Tour de France, stage 20, a little over 36 kilometres of road, finishing on the 5.5 kilometre climb to Planche de Belfi. Tadej Pogačar started the day 50 seconds off Primoz Roglic on GC. And Brad, history in the making today.
What a day. What a day. Even I got excited.
I mean, oh my word.
Yeah.
We didn't see that coming today, did we?
Well, I've run out of things to say about it, to be honest, because we haven't stopped talking about it since. And, I mean, Pogačar, I mean, just started the day a minute down. I thought he'd lose time today. He didn't only take that minute, he's got another minute. He's won the stage by a minute and 20. He's put nearly 2 minutes in Roglic on the stage, and he's won the Tour de France by a minute.
A quite exceptional
21 years of age. Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal. And is this the start of something very special now for the next 15 years?
Well, me and Podcast Pete were in the studio watching. I didn't believe for a second he would do it. Pete, he called it. Brad, you were on comms with Rob Hatch. Here's how Rob saw it and called it for Eurosport.
You can have your Le Mans and Fignon. This is Roglic and Pogačar. This is 2020. This is the Tour de France being lost and being won on the left and right. Pogačar turned up to the Vuelta for a debut last year in a Grand Tour. He won three stages and finished on the podium. He made a real name for himself as one of the big stars of the future. But only 12 months on, he's a star of a present. And look at the horror on the faces of Dumoulin and Van Aert. They cannot believe what they're seeing. Neither can we. And Tadej Pogačar is 250 metres away from turning the tables and winning the Tour de France in the most dramatic fashion since 1989. Pogačar to take the waving flags. All of Van Aert's man of the match and Superman work has been for nothing. Tom Dumoulin's even going to have the stage win snatched away.
Yeah, look at the clock.
He's here in the white jersey. Tadej Pogačar started the day with a little bit of hope. He had better believe it now. Tadej Pogačar, only 21 years of age. By the time he turns 22 on Monday, he will be wearing the yellow jersey as a winner of the Tour de France. Pogačar across the line. He takes the stage. He takes white. He's the king of the mountains. And he is the winner of the 2020 Tour de France. Pogačar has pulled off quite the comeback. Pogačar has turned the tables. History's been made. Never, ever forget where you were on Saturday, the 19th of September, 2020. He'll remember it forever, as will we all. It was the day that Primoz Roglic lost the Tour de France on La Planche des Belles-Filles. Slovenia has its winner. It's not the man you're expecting. Pogačar has humiliated Roglic. That is that. And he will exchange white for yellow.
So, Brad, let's start with the winner of the stage, the winner of the Tour. An unbelievable performance from Tadej Pogačar. The first time since Eddie Merckx in 1969 that a rider has taken three jerseys.
And we're sitting here in Bath. The world is happening around us. Everyone's going out for the night, Saturday night. Unawares that this kid, what this kid has done today, is quite something, really. What a performance. You know, I'm trying to think, rack my brains now, whether Roglic had the worst performance of his life. But I don't think he did, really. I just think he got outclassed by someone who is very, very special. Because he was very close to Van Aert, he's very close to Dumoulin, his teammates that were up there. He was 30 seconds off of them, but he just kept taking time. And Even I thought in commentary, you know, he's going to blow at some point and Roglic is going to up his game. He didn't. He just kept going and kept going and kept going. And, I mean...
Pogacar put 1 minute, 21 seconds into Tom Dumoulin today, who I think a lot of us were looking at for the stage. Wout van Aert was also very impressive. Dumoulin beat van Aert over the line. I mean, all of this indicates, surely, this might be the start of something very special for Pogacar.
And I'm even thinking where Egan Bernal fits into that coming back. Mm. This time last year, we were talking about Bernal now dominating for the next few years. Where does this put G? Where does this put Froome? Can Froome win another tour? It seems to change the whole dynamic of the sport now in terms of who's going to dominate going forward.
It really feels like a generation has passed.
It feels like a change. Yeah, definitely. Changed the guard massively.
So Pogacar, has he totally played Jumbo-Visma this tour? Because they've done all the riding, all the running since the start. Pogacar, we feel like, he's barely had a team with him.
Yeah.
At no point can I remember Pogacar being surrounded by his teammates
not.
In the same way that Primoz Roglic has been.
No, absolutely not. And I think, you know, we look at... I don't think he's played him. I just think he's probably surprised himself a little bit as well today. And we saw that at the finish when he couldn't believe it. They took an element. He said in his interview, you know, it's going to take a while to sink in. You know, as much as Jumbo are going to now have an element of rebuilding and soaking it up, Primoz Roglic is, I think we're just as stunned. You know, it's like it's one of them performances that we're trying to put into words and define it, and it's very difficult to. I'm failing to think of another performance in any sport that is such an upset to this degree.
Well, a lot of people were talking about Fignon versus Le Mans back in 1989. That was a margin of victory of just 8 seconds in the end that I don't think anyone saw coming.
Liverpool's Champions League over AC Milan, you know, 2005. I mean, this is quite something, really. And, you know, I think even that Fignon battle, there was, you know, things that came into play that we now know. You know, obviously aerodynamics. Le Mans used tri-bars for the first time over Fignon.
Yeah, Fignon didn't even have a helmet.
But this was, everyone was on the same par. Everyone was on the same level. This was, this man just blew the world of cycling out of the water today. And there was no indicator that was coming in the previous days. You know, Roglic was looking strong. It looked as if Pogacar was tiring. Roglic took time out of him on that steep climb a few days ago. Pogacar lost time in the first week, didn't he, in the crosswinds?
He lost 1 minute and 21 seconds in the crosswinds on stage seven.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, it's not been a smooth ride for him by any means. He's been isolated at times by his own team. But even he said at the finish, you know, he has to thank his team for it behind the scenes as well. The bike change was swift. You know, the bike change of Roglic didn't look comfortable at all.
It looked terribly clumsy, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Just before the climb.
And after that, Roglic was out the saddle a lot, in the saddle, out the saddle. His helmet was crooked. He looked a broken man at the finish, coming up that finish straight in his face. He knew he'd probably lost by that point. They were giving him time checks. There was an image of Tom Dumoulin and Wout van Aert stood at the finish. They looked sickened by the whole thing. Van Aert had said in an interview that he was planning, looking forward to a party tonight.
Yeah.
You can imagine that the yellow bike had turned up from Bianchi. You know, they were probably building that. They probably shorts and kit arrived for all the team to ride into Paris in this
Jumbo
ceremony.
Jumbo-Visma saying as well, 90 to 95% sure that Roglic was going to win it.
Yeah, yeah. What a fool he must feel now. It just shows you that it's not over to the fat lady things.
Talk to me about being on the road in that situation. So Pogacar said afterwards that he couldn't hear what his DS was saying in his ear because there was so much noise from the fans on the side of the road. Whereas you've got to imagine Roglic would definitely have known with the time checks. I know Brian Smith asked you on commentary, would they have been telling Roglic the truth?
You have to. You have to tell him. I hope they were.
Like you're losing time by the bucket load. What would they have been telling him to sort of calm him down maybe or to get him refocused?
You want factual information. If they were telling him that he was losing time by the bucket load, then you can imagine the psychological effect that's going to have on you. That can take away from your performance. There is an element of thinking, you know, do you lie to this guy? Whatever way you look at it. I don't think there's much he could have done today.
Brad, that psychological element, not just on the road, but beforehand we saw with Tadej Pogacar. He looked so much more relaxed than... Okay, so we saw Roglic warming up, and you pointed this out on the live coverage.
Very much so.
Roglic looked 100% focused. He had his skin suit on. He was warming up. It seemed like nothing else was in his mind. Whereas Pogacar, he had his casual sunglasses on. He had his skin suit around his waist. They looked like chalk and cheese warming up.
They did. And I would have associated that with Roglic going the better man. But it just shows you how different and how wrong I could be in terms of sport being... Sometimes it's not always about that. And I think that's what people love about this winner, is the youthful exuberance and the casualness of it.
Did that help him today, just knowing that all he had to do was go out and give his best?
Well, probably, yeah. He had nothing to lose, did he?
Yeah.
Look, well, yes, he won everything other than green.
So he's won the white jersey for the Young Riders classification. He's won the King of the Mountains, which... Richard Carabas, Team Ineos, was going hard for today. He soft-pedaled to the bottom of the climb.
Yeah.
When he finished, he was fourth up the climb. But Pogacar has just gone and blown absolutely everyone out of the water.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at Pogacar's Instagram from 2 days ago. He said, never thought I'd be wearing a polka dot jersey, even if it's just for one day. It was an amazing experience. Tomorrow in white again. Hope we take it more easy before a brutal time trial on Saturday. Bring it on. So just to wear the jersey for one day meant what it meant to him.
Was
he's
enough for
three,
him, yeah.
And he's going to be riding into Paris in yellow. He was just happy to be at the Tour de France, and look what he's achieved.
So we've talked about Jumbo-Visma almost certainly preparing to be riding into Paris tomorrow wearing yellow. Team UAE, Pogacar's team, how are they going to be approaching tonight? I mean, they're going to have a lot of marketing people running around looking for a lot of yellow products, aren't they?
Well, I wonder if Colnago are going to get a bite to him during the night, the yellow one.
Yeah.
Did they ever imagine at the start of the Tour de France in bringing all that with them, yellow shorts, this, that and the others? I don't think they would have done. It's been quite a couple of weeks for them. I actually think it'd be nice if they didn't, and he rode into Paris just in the yellow jersey.
Yeah.
That's probably never happened before. But I guarantee Colnago, I mean, we were trying to think when Colnago last won the Tour de France. I know Merckx won the Tour on a Colnago, but obviously it was branded Eddy Merckx. I'm still trying to get my head around the whole thing.
Take us back to you confirming yellow after the time trial in Chartres. How did you feel when you crossed the line? There's those famous images of you punching the air, knowing that after 3 weeks, the pressure was off, finally, knowing that you'd won the Tour. How's Pogacar going to be feeling tonight?
Well, I think it's completely different because we'd been building into that for 14 days and that was confirmation. When it falls upon your shoulders like this, that must be quite an experience. I can't even begin to imagine what that must feel like. That was just when I did it, was more consolidation of what we always believed.
Mm.
I would wonder how Roglic feels tonight. He'd been in a similar position building to that point where it was going to be confirmed tonight. You know, when he comes down to dinner tonight with his teammates, I mean, it must be a horrible place to be. But you know what? What a great sportsman he is as well. The shots we saw at the finish.
Such a class. The first thing he did was walk over to Pogacar and congratulate him. Fifth that day on the time trial in Chartres was Richie Porte, who rode an absolute stormer today. 8 years later, he's finally got a Tour de France podium at 35 years old. No man more deserving.
And you saw what it meant to him. He's been a stalwart over the years for team leaders. He helped me. He was a big part of that when I won. He could have won that year. You know, could have won the year after when he was helping Froome up Alpe d'Huez when Froome cracked. His second child was born during the race. He missed that, obviously, to do this. And so it's great reward for him. There's talk of him moving on next year in a helping role to another team. And this was probably his last attempt and last shot to do it.
Mm.
This is just reward for all the years of bad luck and this, that, and the other. There's no one fully deserving of a podium place more than Richie.
And we can hear an interview with Richie Porte now with Bernie Eisele.
Richie Porte has got onto the podium at this Tour de France with an extraordinary time trial performance. Richie, I'm so happy for you. It must be impossible to describe how you're feeling, but have a go.
Oh, look, I mean, it's been a funny old race for me through the years. You know, I've had so many disasters. I almost had a couple here, but you know, the team's been incredible. It's been a great 3 weeks. You know, I came here with my wife's blessing and missed the birth of our second child. So to come away with a podium, it's just, you know, absolutely incredible. You know, I'll have that photo on my wall when I retire on the Champs with two other massive champions. So, you know, I'm just absolutely humbled. It's not really sunk in yet.
I mean, I've got to tell you, I know that everyone at home has been rooting for you throughout your career, and it's almost like there couldn't possibly be someone better on the podium for us. The support from home, tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, you have guys like Robbie McEwen messaging you. You know, I used to stay up watching the Stuart O'Grady's, the Brad McGee's, the, you know, Baden Cooks, all these guys who are my heroes, to now be in this race and finish on the podium. And, of course, Cadell, the best of them all. You know, it's a dream come true. And, you know, it's been so many years of hard toil, you know, kind of flew under the radar here a bit, but I'm just so happy, you know. I think if I can do it, you know, anyone can, to be honest.
You missed the birth of Eloise. Was it worth it to go on the podium and maybe send her a message right now?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, when my son Luca was born, I won the Tour de Suisse, and then to come and be third here, you know, it's probably the last tour I'm going to do with a GC leadership role. So to be third, it feels like a win for me.
I can tell you now, we're so happy. I want to give you a hug, but we're not allowed. Well done, Richie. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Lacquer's collective cover is made especially for cyclists, for life on and off your bike. Lacquer has flipped outdated traditional insurance on its head with no more fixed upfront premiums. Instead, your monthly contributions are based on the collective's claims that month. Your max monthly price is capped, but the savings are all yours. Plus, 80% of your money goes straight back into the collective, fixing, replacing, and helping. And the other 20% keeps their wheels spinning. It's as simple as that. And when things go bad, Lacquer's got your back. Claims are handled by experts and usually agreed within a day, with no depreciation or excess. They've ditched annual contracts locking you in. With Lacquer, if you want to leave, you can, anytime. Head over to www.lacquer.co, where new customers can get £10 credit by signing up today with the discount code Wiggins. Welcome back to the Bradley Wiggins Show, sponsored by Lacquer. Brad, Sean Kelly, the last man to wear green from Ireland, 1989, into Paris. Sam Bennett's going to be doing it tomorrow.
He is.
Barring utter disaster, he'll be standing on the podium in green tomorrow too.
Yeah, and I think he can win the stage. Good on Sam. He's grown through this race. There's a calmness about him now that there wasn't a few weeks ago. It's almost like he's come of age. He's now confirmed to the world he's one of the best sprinters in the world. And, you know, good on him. He deserves it all, really. So much has happened today. It's trumped everything else, really. I mean, it's Sam winning green. That's historic. Pogacar winning the race. We didn't even get a chance to do the tragedy of my life since we're taking yellow, part three.
Well, that's something to or mine for that matter. But
or Graham's, which starts next week.
Something to look forward to. UAE, of course, took stage one with Alexander Kristoff. I mean, that would be a hell of a way to bookend the race for them. Yeah. Could he take the win tomorrow on the Champs-Élysées?
Potentially, but I think them guys will get round him and celebrate tomorrow.
Yeah.
Whether that extends to him, you know, going for the sprint or not, I don't know. I mean, that might be a celebration for them guys. Now we have to look after this yellow jersey. They've not been able to be there times in the mountains with him.
Yeah.
So tomorrow's my day. You know, let's not forget, it's a bunch sprint tomorrow. We know how hectic they can be. There's a chance of a crash or anything.
Well, Caleb Ewan will fancy it tomorrow too. He's quietly just been doing all he can to get through the past few stages. And Peter Sagan, can never rule him out.
Yeah, Peter, I still think that as much as it's a change of the guard in the GC era, it's appearing that way in the sprints now. You know, Greipel's been non-existent in this race, hasn't he? Peter Sagan hasn't been the man he was in the past, although he's not done and dusted, that's for sure. But Caleb Ewan now reared to the fore, one of the fastest men in the world. And Sam Bennett, if not the fastest man in the world.
And a man we can't rule out who is also very impressive today, Wout van Aert. Could you see him going long tomorrow?
You know, it's almost they've finished their race now on a disappointment almost, aren't they?
After all they've done, after all the riding they've done, after how they've controlled the race, how they've nursed Primoz Roglic to this point.
They haven't put a foot wrong. And Roglic just failed to beat someone who's clearly going to be very, very special now the next 10 years.
Brad, another word on Jumbo. They wanted to be, and to all intents and purposes, without the win, are the new Ineos in the way that they've controlled the race. I want to pick up on Jonathan Vaughter's comments, saying no one really likes them, and that's all he will say on it. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, JV, why don't you just tell us, let us in. Let us into the secret. What is it? You know, because it just leaves like bitterness, and it's like, just tell us, what have they done wrong? They've been a bunch of, you know, in some way, clearly. I mean, you know, what you alluding to, you know, it's like, they've been pretty bad, but I won't tell you why.
Well, it's not something we can see from the outside, is it?
No, but who cares? I mean, you know, look, no one likes a winner, do they? And they've been dominant. There was another rider, I think, piped up and said, oh, they've been riding too hard at certain times when they didn't need to. Boo-hoo. That's why you're in the Tour de France, isn't it? Hey, look, Jumbo and the management probably got a bit above everything. Planning party, selling 4 croissants for £1.
To celebrate the tour, yeah.
Yeah, it's not done yet, is it? And it just shows you the difference. 95% sure we're going to win this tour? Well, hang on a minute, mate. They've still got to get up this hill. And it just shows you that may have all contributed to, you know, Primoz Roglic. Who knows? They may have thrust the yellow bike under his nose this morning and said, oh, this is your bike turned up for Paris. You know? You just don't know, do you? It's like, well, Van Aert say we're preparing for a party tonight. And it's like, hey, I mean, that could have all played a part. And I think all of us made a good point that Dave Brailsford would always think of what could go wrong.
Yeah.
And it was never done until it was done.
Yeah. We said it before, Roglic looked white as a ghost when he crossed the line. Was that because of the psychological pressure that he was under? Was it because his legs finally cracked?
I mean, it wasn't a psychological. He just realised he'd lost the Tour de France.
Yeah, yeah.
And that must have been quite horrible for him coming up that last kilometre. He looked hurt, didn't he? In a discipline that you thought he would have made his own up there.
Port's taking the podium ahead of Miguel Angel Lopez, who we saw Roglic pass
in
the
Lopez
final
is
couple
still
of
out
kilometres.
There and hasn't finished.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's still finished in the top 10 on GC. But a disappointing day for him in Astana too.
I mean, yeah, shocking, you know. I mean, we knew he wasn't a great time trialist, but that's quite far removed from the man who won in quite dominant style a few days ago, didn't it? Yeah.
So, Brad, Pogacar going into Paris in yellow tomorrow, you know exactly how that feels.
Yeah.
Take us through it from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you get on your bike to the time that you actually make it onto the Champs-Élysées.
Yeah. I mean, it's a celebration. We still had a job to do when we got onto the Champs-Élysées for Cav.
Oh, so UAE might still have a job to do for
Christoph, of course. Our cameraman, James, today asked, didn't he, whether is there any chance that Roglic could attack or Jumbo could set something up to attack?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think it's quite hard for the cycling world sometimes that people are new to it to understand there's some sort of gentleman's agreement that the last day is all bets off. That isn't true of every year. If you remember about years ago, Bernardino attacked on the last day. But he's got a lot of time to make up if he wants to attack, doesn't he? But I think it's more, I don't know what that is. I think it's more of the gentleman agreement come from some sort of respect that, you know, if you were going to win the Tour, you'd have won it by now. So yeah. Why try in Paris, you know?
And he's not got much scope to do it. There's one Category 4 climb tomorrow, but you've got to imagine that everyone will treat the final stage as it usually is, in that it's a ceremonial stage.
Yeah, it'd be a mark of respect. And Pogacar's won this thing, you know. They had their chance to. And if you haven't done it by now, then... Yeah, I think so. It is. Yeah, I can't see anyone really trying anything tomorrow. It'll be, and if they did, I mean, for them to stay away as well, it's very big ask on a flat course. But
were you sipping champagne on the way into Paris, or because you knew you had that job to do?
I held the glass up and then chucked it in the bushes.
Yeah,
yeah. We still had a job to. I was very, very focused that day.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't want to go in for all the sort of poncing about riding along. It was just because I really wanted to pay back Cav for the job he'd done.
Yeah. Well, Ola caught up with Mark Cavendish and his memories of that 2012 tour coming onto the Champs-Élysées. Here he is now.
So, Mark, how are you? You've just finished the Tour of Luxembourg. We're hearing all sorts coming out of that race. How have you survived it? How's it been?
It's been okay, thank you. I was in the breakaway today, actually. Once in a while thing, that. Like, but it was good. It's here the hour of the year, obviously. You get what you can in when you're not doing the Tour de France. So I just kind of like, you're getting around it, I guess. But like, felt super good. Numbers are good. We nearly had a win today, unfortunately. Our young Colombian teammate, he celebrated a lap too early on the finish. But, you know, he's not the first person to do. He won't be the last. And we're super proud of him. He's going strong. So.
Mark, I want to take you back to 2012 because that was such a special one for so many reasons and for so many people. We had Bradley Wiggins, he's a member of our team now, of course, in the yellow jersey, the first British winner of the Tour de France. You were sprinting once again for a win in the Champs-Élysées in the rainbow bands, let's not forget. That was such a special day and such a special win, wasn't it?
That's pretty special, that one. That is the most special. You know, take away the stage win. I never thought in my career I'd be part of a world championship, a Tour de France winning team, you know. And then to think I wasn't just part of a team, I was with, like, I think it's commonly known, you know, my relationship with Brad, you know, he's like my brother. And to think where we came from, we went to the Tour de France, and he was there in Paris in the yellow jersey. There was that. On its own is something special, but you know, to then say, okay, I'm not gonna just sip champagne over the line, you know, we're gonna win this, and you just see, it's not just giving it a go when you watch the final kilometer, when you see when he comes over the Flamme Rouge, like how he blitzes everyone else, you know, that was. That meant so much to me, you know, because he was giving everything, emptying the tank there, you know, and yeah, to win in the Rainbow Bands then was nice, but I think the fact that Brad had won the tour was definitely more special, and he was leading me out in the yellow jersey, that's for sure.
I remember the whole build-up to that day in the Champs-Élysées, Mark, and the whole avenue was covered with people wearing Wigo and Cav masks. It was quite freaky everywhere you looked. It was a replica,
and them sideburns.
Replica Mark. What's that?
Do you remember everyone had them stick-on sideburns?
Exactly. Were you aware of that hysteria and that level of fandom, which is something I don't think we've seen again since?
Yeah, around, like, you didn't go 10 metres a whole Tour de France of, like, allez, Wigo, you know? Like the most British accent for the word allez you'll ever hear, but for 3 weeks, you know? Yeah, it was good. That was pretty special, you know? That was... Yeah, I still think we could have won more that Tour de France, but Brad winning the yellow jersey is, there's something like really for personal emotional reasons, it was an amazing 3 weeks. So.
So Brad Cav saying there that it's still his standout memory in terms of all of his stage wins, in terms of the World Championships, winning on the Champs-Élysées with you setting him up from an emotional point of view, from a personal point of view, because he considers, I mean, and I know you do as well, you're very close.
Yeah, I mean, I was yellow jersey, he was world champion. Two people from the same generation, you know, and in a year which British sport transformed, wasn't it? With everyone else that achieved that year, the Olympic Games, it, you know, being in yellow and being able to do that cross, I don't think it's ever happened, has it, as well? Coming across the Place de la Concorde with the world champion on your wheel. It was amazing. I think it was his fourth victory. He's never won since, has he, on the Champs?
No, that was his final victory on the Champs-Élysées.
So, I'll always remember that day. I've still got the jersey from that day. Well, Pete has at the moment, which I plan to get back.
Courtesy of podcast Pete. What can you remember what Cav said to you as soon as you had crossed the line?
Get out, lad. Yeah, that was it. And then a hug.
Lovely. Brad, go on, give us a prediction. Who's your money on for tomorrow?
Sam Bennett.
Caleb Ewan, not to make it two in a row.
Sam winning green, that'll be the top off for the tour. With what happened today with him, Sam making history, not only winning green, but winning the stage as well. No Irishman, Sean never won on the Champs-Élysées, did he?
No.
So,
He got his suitcase nicked, but he never won on the Champs-Élysées.
He did, yeah, so it'll be great to see Sam.
We look forward to seeing that play out, and that brings us to the end of this episode of the Bradley Wiggins Show by Eurosport. Thank you to our sponsor, Lacquer Bicycle Insurance. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
You can follow us on social media. Sorry, you can follow you on social media. You first, because it's your show.
It is my show, Graham.
It's
our show.
At Sir Wigo.
Yep.
You can also follow Eurosport on Twitter at Eurosport_UK. Plus, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you, too, to our producer, Pete Burton.
Pete Burton.
Finally, from me, Graham Wilgos, it's goodbye. If you've enjoyed the show, please do subscribe, share your thoughts, and rate us wherever you pod. Brad, before I leave you, we've had some great reaction to yesterday's podcast.
Yeah, we have.
An important subject to put the tour aside for and have a conversation with our old mate Manny.
Yeah, and we put that to one side and covered it. It was the start of what we need to do. But off the back of that, we had a fantastic day in the Tour de France. And I believe I heard this morning that Nico Roach and Luke Rowe were actually speaking with CPA and ASO about making some sort of stance and doing something about it tomorrow in Paris. Nothing's been confirmed yet, but it's an interesting movement, isn't it? That off the back of Haller's interview with Kevin, that it's created what should have happened, and I think this is fantastic news.
Yeah, all right, well, we look forward to seeing that tomorrow.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.